This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mass shooting in California. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, May 27, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
At least 9 people have been murdered by a gunman who massacred fellow employees at a rail yard in San Jose. He then turned the gun on himself.
President Biden is calling for U.S. intelligence to investigate the origins of COVID. There's new credibility behind the lab accident theory.
The proposed commission to study the riot at the U.S. Capitol could be put on the shelf in the Senate today. It's not clear. There's enough Republican support.
And more Netflix movies showing up in theaters.
I think if you had a time machine and you went back 18 months or so, it would seem like you were reading some headline that really meant the sky was falling. Because Netflix, as you know, has spent many, many years trying to give some of its bigger titles a theatrical release. And the theaters, especially the major chains, have said, no way.
Eric Schwartzel at the Wall Street Journal on movie theater operators, short on films, turning to an unlikely partner for material. An employee of a light rail yard in San Jose, California, shot and killed at least 9 fellow workers before committing suicide. It happened yesterday morning at the Valley Transportation Authority. The gunman was identified as 57-year-old Samuel Cassidy, who'd been an employee of the VTA for at least 9 years. Police say he had multiple firearms in his possession at the location. They also say he set fire to his home before heading to the rail facility. Santa Clara County Sheriff's spokesman Russell Davis.
We actually had an explosives dog on scene, which detected to some type of explosives material at the crime scene itself. At that point, we activated the Sheriff's Office bomb squad.
An ex-girlfriend told the San Francisco Chronicle that Mr. Cassidy was prone to mood swings fueled by alcohol and had been accused in a March 2009 court filing of rape and abuse. The documents were filed in response to a domestic violence restraining order that Mr. Cassidy had filed. San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo, by the way, said a vigil will be held at City Hall this evening at 6 p.m. Prominent Democrats are already using the mass shooting in San Jose to again call for tighter gun laws, President Biden among them. Mr. Biden has pushed an overhaul of gun laws in recent weeks in response to mass shootings. Last month, he unveiled a slate of executive actions aimed at curbing gun violence, including tightened restrictions on so-called homemade ghost guns and pistol-stabilizing braces. He also called on the Justice Department to develop legislation for a red flag law that would temporarily block individuals identified as potential threats from possessing guns. Congressman Ro Khanna represents part of Silicon Valley.
That's a source of shame to me, and it should be a shame, source of shame to everyone who serves in the Congress that we have not been able to deliver for the American public.
Many Republicans have accused their political rivals of politicizing instances of gun violence to push long-desired changes to the Second Amendment. President Biden has ordered U.S. intelligence officials to dig deeper into the origins of COVID-19 following renewed scrutiny of the possibility that the virus might have started with a laboratory leak in China. The White House has come under pressure to carry out its own investigation after China told the World Health Organization that it considered Beijing's part of the investigation complete and that other countries should be looked at. Mr. Biden, who wants a report within 90 days, said that U.S. intelligence has focused on 2 scenarios: whether the coronavirus came from human contact with an infected animal or from a lab accident. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio.
There is no way that the Chinese Communist Party is going to turn over any of the information that would be needed in order to have a serious investigation. And the more that they do that, the more I think you've got to start concluding that, in fact, they had some role to play in how this happened.
The Wall Street Journal says Mr. Biden's announcement yesterday is a reversal after he reportedly ordered a State Department investigative unit shut down. Coming up next, President Biden's plan for normalcy hits a roadblock.
It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies' summer sale event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's summer sale event.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. President Biden wants the U.S. to return to a sense of normalcy by July 4th, but the prices many Americans are seeing this holiday weekend are anything but normal. A roundup from Alex Gangitano, reporter at The Hill. Alex, take us through this.
Yeah, Memorial Day this year is right when, you know, things are opening up and people, I think, are eager to get traveling again, even flying again, if they've been kind of car bound this whole time during the pandemic. But the cost of airfares, car rentals, even Airbnb bookings have all gone up. So a couple of top line numbers I heard, daily car rental rates have doubled compared to this time last year. The average airfare has increased by 14%, and mid-range hotels have increased up to 34%. So it's not cheap to travel this year, and that's also not great news for the travel industry, which was hoping that everybody would, you know, be eager and wanting to travel again by this time.
Yeah, just with regards to rental cars, that story has continued to amaze me. I get supply and demand and how everybody wants and needs a car for this summer, but the lack of availability is just stunning, right? I mean, you saw that story about people renting U-Hauls to get around in Hawaii. Like,
yeah,
it's insane. What other numbers are you hearing? What else stood out?
Well, on the rental car note, of course, gas prices. Ever since the Colonial Pipeline hack, gas prices are at their highest levels since we've seen since 2014. So the average cost of a gallon is $1.12, more expensive than Memorial Day 2020. Of course, Memorial Day 2020 was, you know, the peak of the pandemic. Everything was shut down. People were staying home. But yeah, gas prices are on the rise. And then what's interesting, though, is that the hotel industry has still said that they are not back to pandemic levels. And so pre-pandemic levels. So from talking to them, they claim that they're still down in prices about 15% compared to 2019, so pre-pandemic. So while Airbnbs are doing really well. So who knows, maybe people are still kind of weary of staying in a hotel, being around other people. You know, you're sharing the elevator, and that's why people are more likely to stay in an Airbnb.
Speaking with Alex Gangitano, reporter at The Hill. Her story is called Memorial Day Weekend Collides with Surging Travel Costs. So you referenced Colonial Pipeline, and now we're like kind of hearing the politics weave into that in terms of oil and gas prices. Explain.
Exactly. So there was an interesting email out from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who used the Colonial Pipeline hack from, I guess that was 2 weeks ago now, to kind of expose what he claims were the flaws of Biden's approach to energy policy. So basically, he's saying that this attack made it clear that the pipelines and energy development in the U.S. Are good for the economy, make it more resilient, and President Biden and Democrats should not work to scale those things back. So it was interesting, this statement that he put out, he really marked it as gas prices are high and it's President Biden's fault. And this was his explanation for that. But yeah, we're seeing a lot of politicizing of, you know, you see the price at the pump and who do you blame for that?
Right. Circle back to travel here and crossings of, say, the Canada-Mexico border, European travelers. How do we summarize that?
Yep. So there's been a lot of pressure on the Biden administration also to allow European residents to resume regular travel, just leisure travel to the U.S. So that's been restricted, you know, over a year now. The Canadian and Mexican borders are going to open up June 21st. That was an extension by a bit. So we've heard, you know, the Secretary of Homeland Security, we've heard the Transportation Secretary, they've all been questioned about this on when are European residents going to be able to come into the U.S. And it seems like the administration's still kind of pushing back on it, saying we're not ready yet. We're going to this is a really a health decision, you know, kind of punting it to the CDC. So I don't know when it's, you know, don't hold your breath on when European residents will be back in the U.S. because it does seem like it's going to be a little while.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Gangitano, reporter at The Hill. 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
An employee who gunned down 9 people at a California rail yard and then killed himself as law enforcement rushed in had talked about killing people at work more than a decade ago. His ex-wife said she never believed him. San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo.
It's clear that the gunman was a VTA employee, and I talked to several employees who were there at the scene, and there were concerns about this gunman.
The attacker was identified as 57-year-old Samuel Cassidy. Investigators offered no immediate word on a possible motive, but his ex-wife said he used to come home from work resentful and angry over what he perceived as unfair assignments.
Number two.
It was the 15th mass killing in the nation this year, all of them shootings that have claimed at least 4 lives each for a total of 86 deaths. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
Begs the damn question, what the hell is going on in the United States of America? What the hell is wrong with us?
At the White House, President Biden ordered flags to be flown at half-staff and urged Congress to act on legislation to curb gun violence.
Number three.
Senate Republicans are ready to deploy the filibuster to block a commission on the January 6th insurrection, shattering hopes for a bipartisan probe of the deadly assault on the U.S. Capitol, and reviving pressure on Democrats to do away with a procedural tactic that critics say has lost its purpose. The vote expected today would be the first successful use of the filibuster this year to halt Senate legislative action. Ahead of the vote, the mother of the late Capitol Police officer Brian Sicknick said she would meet with lawmakers to try to persuade them to act.
We are excited to announce the first winner, Abigail Buginski from Silverton. Congratulations! You just won $1 million in the Vax-a-Million giveaway.
The woman from southwestern Ohio has won the state's first $1 million Vax-a-Million vaccination incentive prize, while a Dayton area teen was awarded the first full-ride college scholarship offered by the program. More than 2.7 million adults signed up for the $1 million prize, and more than 104,000 children ages 12 to 17 entered the drawing for the college scholarship.
Well, that's quite the incentive. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, the unlikely partnership between theaters and Netflix. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. The nation's movie theaters are running out of movies. Some are turning to an unlikely source for more, Netflix. With major Hollywood studios paring back their release calendars or shipping movies to their own streaming services, theater chains are expecting to be short of programming for at least 3 years. That's one reason several chains premiered the Netflix zombie heist movie Army of the Dead 1 week before it became available on the service. More on the unlikely partners from Eric Schwartzel, entertainment reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Eric, how bizarre.
I know. It is something that I think if you had a time machine and you went back 18 months or so, it would seem like you were reading some headline that really meant the sky was falling, because Netflix, as you know, has spent many, many years trying to give some of its bigger titles a theatrical release, and the theaters, especially the major chains, have said no way, because Netflix wants to release its movies often very close, if not the day that they are available on streaming. And that is a codicil of the agreements that the theaters will not budge on, because they think it threatens, you know, their very livelihood. If people can watch a movie at home, there's going to be a significant portion of the audience that doesn't go out to the auditorium.
Yeah. All right. So which theaters are kind of giving the green light to Netflix movies?
So the reason that this was a big deal was because Cinemark, which is the nation's third largest exhibitor, was the one that agreed to show Army of the Dead in about several hundred of its theaters. And this is a big deal because Cinemark, along with AMC and Regal, which are the largest and second largest theater chains respectively, have always been the ones who have never really given an inch to Netflix. Some of the smaller chains have played Netflix films, but really what's changed here is not necessarily anything Netflix is doing, but the desperation that a lot of theaters are feeling to fill their auditoriums with movies that people want to go and see.
Yeah, because but as you point out, there's at least a good handful of delayed releases, right, that are leaving theaters scratching their heads about what to do.
Right. There's not only movies that were initially slated for theatrical release that aren't going to be theatrical releases anymore. There's also just a shift at most of the major studios towards streaming. And so a lot of the movies that maybe, you know, a couple years ago executives would get together and approve to make as a theatrical release are instead being put and distributed directly on a streaming service. And one exhibition executive I talked to said he's expecting about a 25% drop in the number of titles from traditional studios that he can get over the next 3 years.
Man. We're speaking with Eric Schwartzel, entertainment reporter at The Wall Street Journal. His story is called Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead and Other Netflix Movies Turn Up in Theaters. So I presume that the contract language has changed here, right? The terms of agreement?
It has, and it's still hard to know exactly what the terms are. I was told that Netflix, because, you know, they are giving these movies to a smaller number of theaters, and the movies are going to be available on Netflix a week later, they are not getting the terms that someone like Disney might on a movie like The Avengers, obviously, which is a big blockbuster that's going to play in theaters for months at a time. But the one thing that is very interesting on the contract side is that Netflix asks theaters not to report box office tallies. And so we don't know officially how well Netflix films do when they have these limited theatrical releases.
Be interesting to watch how this continues to unfold. Eric Schwartzel, entertainment reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. And you can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Millions of workers left the restaurant industry during the pandemic and have not come back. The industry has 1.7 million fewer jobs filled than before the pandemic, despite posting almost a million job openings in March and raising pay 3.6%, an average of 58 cents an hour in the first 3 months of 2021. Restaurant chains and industry groups say a shortage of workers is slowing the recovery. Eli Rosenberg, labor reporter at The Washington Post, has been exploring the issue. Eli, what are you hearing?
You know, there's a wide range of reasons that people told me they had left the industry or had taken a pause from the industry, or, you know, for those people still employed by the industry, that some of them told me that they were, you know, looking for a way out. And I think, you know, the pandemic has served as just this watershed moment that caused people to sort of reevaluate the decisions they were making in their lives, and particularly at a time when, you know, the restaurant industry, and I say this as a reporter and as a former restaurant worker as well, you know, the restaurant industry, I think, brings with it often more labor issues and sort of less kind of typical job stability in terms of minimum wage and benefits, healthcare and stuff like that than other industries. I think for many people, it kind of crystallized that that wasn't the bargain they wanted to make anymore, particularly with this, you know, new added health risk that, that comes from working in restaurants.
Did the restaurants indicate that they were surprised that people didn't come back? I mean, you profiled this guy at the beginning of your story, Jim Conway, Pittsburgh area, you know, making $2.83 an hour, barely more than he did 40 years ago in this type of work, and he's 64 years old.
Yeah, right. So we're seeing the political debate right now about this worker shortage where all these businesses, restaurants, hotels, you know, these industries that have been really hard hit by the pandemic are trying to kind of get up and running, get back up to speed again, but are having trouble hiring people for often low-wage positions. So, you know, what we did with this story was tried to interview a bunch of people who worked in the industry or left the industry to sort of hear about their perspective. You know, we've heard the perspective from business owners and industry groups. And again, yeah, people like Jim Conway, who you reference, the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage for tipped workers has not gone up from $2.13 an hour for decades. This gentleman you're referring to is in Pennsylvania, where they've raised it slightly. But like you said, he started out making $2.13 plus tips in the 80s, and his guaranteed minimum wage from the company he worked at, an Olive Garden, has only made it up to $2.83 an hour.
Wow.
Recently, although obviously he in normal times he was making significantly more than that with tips.
Mm-hmm. So it. With all these, is it like a, you know, million plus people who have left the industry and are not coming back? Are those jobs being filled by teenagers then, or do they not want these jobs either? Because it seems to be a struggle.
You know, I think we're still trying to figure out exactly what's going on. I think when you talk to business owners, they're saying the jobs aren't being filled. They're making do with short staff. They're for patching holes where they can, and they're sort of bracing for. You know, as more and more customers come, sort of bracing for how they're going to adapt to meeting that workflow without the labor force right now. But something's going on, and it's a confluence of probably a large number of factors. But yeah, the sort of political discussion has revolved mostly around the unemployment insurance issue.
We're speaking with Eli Rosenberg, labor reporter at the Washington Post. His story is called How the Pandemic Pushed Restaurant Workers Over the Edge. Anybody guessing that this might bring some sort of wage reckoning in that industry? Or is it just not feasible based on the slim profit margins that a lot of them operate off of?
Yeah, it's a tough business. Restaurant owners will be quick to tell you that they have tighter profit margins than other industries, and that's definitely part of this. We have a business model that, whether it's right or wrong, does rely on customers sort of helping subsidize the salaries of people who work in tipped positions, and that's just how it works. And a lot of the chains that have tried to change that up in recent years have certainly struggled with it. So we do see some evidence now that wages are rising, as we would expect if there's a labor shortage. Pay has gone up for non-management restaurant and bar workers. 70 cents an hour, 50 in the past 3 months. That's an increase of 5.1%. So pretty significant increase in a pretty short amount of time. You know, anecdotally, we're hearing some reports from restaurant owners who have decided that their bottom line can account for raising wages, you know, jumping up their wages from maybe a minimum of 13 to a minimum of 15, mm-hmm. and heard from a bunch of restaurant owners that have done this, that they've seen a sort of night and day difference in terms of interest in their job applications.
Thanks, Eli. Eli Rosenberg, labor reporter at the Washington Post. Coming up next, another ice chunk smashes through a home. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. We'll hear of a couple of stories of close calls this week, and let's hope this one isn't the start of a trend. Another large chunk of ice has fallen from the sky and crashed through someone's home. You remember we told you about a week ago about a mystery ice chunk that broke through the roof of a Florida family's home. Flash forward to this week, and a Wisconsin family is dealing with the same issue. Ken Millerman said he was at his family's home in Elk Mound when a chunk of ice weighing nearly 13 pounds crashed through the roof and right into his bedroom. Thankfully, he wasn't hurt, but the chunk did graze him, and Millerman says if it had landed just a few inches away, he might have been killed. He compared the sound of the crash to a shotgun blast. The origin of the chunk is a mystery. The National Weather Service said storm clouds in the area Tuesday morning were not strong enough to cause hail the size of this ice chunk. So this is 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah.
You know, this is like something you'd see at the beginning of a disaster movie, right? It's like a summer blockbuster disaster movie, like a couple of mystery ice chunks fall through the roof of people's houses, and then all of a sudden the entire earth is being bombarded with them.
How could it be something other than from a plane?
I don't understand. Yeah,
I don't know either.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not hail, if it's not crazy sized hail, then what else could it be?
Right.
But why is it now happening all of a sudden? And you know, and into people's houses, specifically into their houses through their roofs. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Crazy stuff.
That's 13 pounds.
Whistling no
down it. I don't know how many miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it just sounded like a shotgun blast, blasting through his roof.
Can't imagine what that sounds like. He gets grazed either by it or some debris or something.
Yeah.
A foot away from real disaster.
Oh, yeah.
A personal disaster.
For sure. He knows that.
That's unbelievable. And there's got to be a way you can calculate that. Right. Was there a plane over the area at the time?
Yeah.
You know, where it was dropped, the trajectory and all that. And somebody's smarter than me.
Currently, officials are baffled. So we'll see. And speaking of unexplained things falling from the sky, something went very wrong this week when an apparent skydiver got caught up in a dangerous situation when their parachute became caught in power lines of a California neighborhood. The parachute became tangled in the lines around 11 in the morning on Tuesday in Riverside County. While it's unclear where the individual's flight originated from, local TV reported that there is a skydiving center near the area where the incident occurred. Rescue crews responded and rescued the person who was dangling amid power lines for over an hour, 30 feet above the ground before they were freed. Thankfully, the parachuter had only minor injuries.
Man.
Just, you know, it's the fall in the first, 10,000 feet or whatever was easy. It's that last 30 feet, right? That'll get you every time.
Right.
That's the hard part, finding a safe spot to land.
Trying to judge winds and all that stuff. Ugh. Oh, man. Thank you, Mike.
Have you ever bought something online only to find out right afterwards you could have saved money? Sometimes you don't know. You just see that little promo code field that makes you wonder, is this the best deal I can get? Well, now you'll know thanks to the new shopping tool called Honey. You've heard me talk about Honey before. Just start by shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you're ready to check out, the Honey button drops down. All you have to do is click Apply Coupons. If there's a working coupon, Honey finds it and your price drops. It's that easy. Honey has found coupons that save their 17 million members over $2 billion. I know because I'm one of them. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'd never recommend something I don't use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Gordon. That's joinhoney.com/Gordon.
Thanks for spending time with us. Millions of Americans are ready to hit the road again this Memorial Day weekend, which means trips in several regions could be twice as long as usual. Road traffic during the upcoming Memorial Day holiday weekend is expected to eclipse what travelers experienced last year. No surprise. Right now, the coronavirus cases are down sharply. So how can travelers make sure they're hitting the road at the best time for these trips? INRIX, a global mobility analytics company, expects the longest travel delays will occur in the late afternoons and early evenings leading up to the holiday weekend, especially between 2 and 6:30 p.m. today and tomorrow. Roads should be less congested for return trips on Monday, obviously, since many Americans have the day off, so there will be fewer commuters. Meanwhile, INRIX named the nightmare areas for worst traffic in Atlanta, Interstate 85 in Chicago, Interstate 290 West in L.A., the I-5 South, naturally. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A gunman opened fire at a Northern California light rail yard yesterday morning, killing 9 people. The gunman, an employee at the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority light rail hub, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And other employees were among the victims. This neighbor of the shooter, identified as 57-year-old Samuel Cassidy, said he appeared to be a loner.
He's living alone. I never see his friends. I never see his families. I never see anybody coming with, you know, his house. He's a live alone.
Authorities did not say what kind of weapon the suspect used or whether he had a firearm license.
Number two.
President Biden has ordered U.S. intelligence officials to redouble their efforts to investigate the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, including any possibility the trail might lead to a Chinese lab. After months of minimizing that possibility as a fringe theory, the Biden administration is joining worldwide pressure for China to be more open about the outbreak. Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We have been saying that for a very long time, that China needed to provide more access to the lab, cooperate more fully with the scientific investigators, and we don't think that they have met that standard.
Republicans, including former President Trump, have promoted the theory the virus emerged from a lab accident rather than naturally through human contact with an infected animal.
Number three.
The CEOs of the 6 biggest banks went before Congress yesterday, eager to lay out their support for struggling consumers and small businesses hard hit by the pandemic. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon.
There's no doubt that the bold and swift actions taken by Congress, the Federal Reserve, the administration over the past 15 months was instrumental in reversing the financial panic and avoiding a deep and lasting economic crisis. But the last year exacerbated longstanding inequality.
Big banks' profits have surged as the economic recovery takes hold. The number one beach in the U.S., Hawaii's Hapuna Beach, at least according to Stephen Leatherman, who has been ranking beaches on an annual list under the alias Dr. Beach for 3 decades. He cites the contrast of black lava rock, white sand, and blue water. Other beaches in the top 10 include Cooper's Beach in Southampton, New York, the Outer Banks in North Carolina, and St. George Island State Park in Florida.
All right. Sounds good right about now.
Yes.
Yeah, with some bird singing, maybe an umbrella drink. Thanks, Jen.
It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's Summer Sale Event.
Glad you're with us. A Washington State man named Christian Linden is on a mission to make his own engagement ring using gold and gemstones he mined himself. Recently, the Seattle area resident reached a huge milestone while mining 3 days at Crater of Diamonds State Park in Arkansas earlier this month. Mr. Linden, who's 26, found a 2.2-carat yellow diamond, the largest found at the park since last fall. Before searching for the gemstones, a press release says Mr. Linden spent 5 years panning for gold around Washington. Once he had enough gold for the engagement ring, he took a cross-country journey to Arkansas to mine gemstones using equipment he and a friend made themselves and then tested in Montana. Even though he'll have all the elements, Mr. Linden says he won't design the engagement ring until he proposes, so he and his fiancée can design it together. According to the release, Mr. Linden now plans to head to Nevada to mine for opals. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.